named Operation Rosselsprung, an airborne assault outside his Drvar headquarters in Bosnia.
I think I bought one of those at IKEA.
A Rosselsprung?
It's a cheese demilker. Like, it takes the milk out of the cheese. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's an end table.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Hello.
And Ryan.
Not pouring one out for the CEO of UnitedHealthcare.
Yeah, fuck him. Did you see that Ben Shapiro thing I just sent over? I would never. I would normally never send anything from that douchebag, fucking hateful prick, but it's him, like, he released a video about it. And it just says a shocking targeted attack and the left celebrates, and multiple replies to his post are just like, you're so out of touch. Who are you talking about? He's like, your own listeners are celebrating. You fucking have missed the point.
Yeah, this one totally went over your 5'6" head.
I hate the idea. I don't hate a lot of things, but I hate the idea that it takes what happened for this stupid fucking country that we live in to start paying attention to the just absolute gross injustice that is the U.S. healthcare system.
Yeah.
Just absolute disgusting system.
One of my favorite things was the CEOs of all the major companies taking their, like, CEO pages and upper administration pages offline, like the Wayback Machine doesn't exist.
Yeah, that was good. The best one to me was that Anthem Health place was going to get, they were going to, like, limit the anesthesia that you could get, and then
so basically they would just only pay for a certain amount,
right? So if you had 5 hours, they'd only do three, and then you'd be fucked. Yeah. And anesthesia is fucking expensive for surgery. I mean, holy shit.
Yes.
So because that's the bill you always get when you get a procedure done. They fucking, you think you paid for everything. They're like, oh yeah, that's everything. And then the anesthesia is just like, hold that 1 second, I got something.
Yeah, hold on one minute. Hang on.
But
we actually haven't finished printing out the paper that has all the zeros that you're gonna owe on this motherfucker.
Those fucking idiots overnight rescinded the policy, which just goes to show you, okay, that they only did it because they knew they could get a fucking way with it. And it's just, it's so fucking hilarious. You know, like, to me,
it proves literally proves that violence is the answer. But I that's a discussion for another time.
I mean,
the correct terminology would be direct action.
We've had this. Yeah, direct action is the answer. Might makes right is not correct, but direct action definitely makes.
No, I didn't say might makes right. I just said violence is the answer.
I mean, I disagree, but
not always. Not always.
It's not. It's not always violence. Time, it's not in always violence. Times. It's direct action. But I know what you're saying, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality, though, is just unbelievable that it just takes that. I really wish more people would just,
you know. Up next, Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Right?
Step up to the podium.
Dude, I've said this so many times. Collective action is the way you get anything fucking done, and you can't get people to agree on dinner. That's my excuse all the time. You go into a room, you ask five people what they want to eat, no one fucking knows, and every time someone suggests something, it gets shot down.
Somebody will say no to it.
Yeah, and so you can't even get them on the same page about that, but we're supposed to get them on the same page about, like, the price of cable, you know, or something like that, or rent. I mean, seriously, if the whole country just decides, fuck it, I'm not paying rent anymore and I'm dropping my insurance plan, you know what happens? Prices go down. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they will. They have to. Because they're not going to get paid. But we're so complicit in our own fuckery. It's just, it's terrible.
There will come to a point that you can't squeeze blood from a stone. And
I agree with you. I've been saying that for years, but
that point has to come.
But I'm 42, and I haven't seen it yet. And I just feel pushed so far, you know.
This is like a great, great thinker, you know, very recently said, you know, that a reckoning is coming.
Fuck John Schnatter, the dickhead. Oh, my God. That Papa's dickhead. John Gustafson, that dickhead. Dude, I just, Like, and then you read the next day about that shithead company and how they literally fucking denied 33% of their claims.
Oh, yeah, they have the highest denial rate. Yeah.
They use fucking AI that's wrong 90% of the time.
Yeah, they use the AI that was wrong 90% of the time. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, nobody's celebrating murder. They're just saying, fuck you. Who cares if you're dead? You're a worthless cocksucker. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. You're a worthless asshole who makes an immoral amount of money. You make an immoral amount of money. It shouldn't exist. No one should, that much wealth in a society should not be in someone's hands because they did not get it by the sweat of their brow. They did also, not earn that money.
You're an idiot for not walking around security being worth that kind of money and knowing that people hate
that's
you.
That's the hubris. That's the hubris, right? But like, I think that's the good point is that, and that's the one that usually gets most people is nobody earns $1 billion. They don't. They steal
it. Doesn't happen.
They steal it.
It doesn't happen.
It's theft. 100% theft. And if people can't suss that out on their own, I'm not fucking explaining it to them. I know I'm not supposed to do that, right? Don't tell people to search for themselves. Show them the link.
Yeah, but also, like, we're in the year of our Lord 2024. If you don't understand why being a billionaire is an immoral amount, is just an immoral amount of money to have, but to, like, it is impossible to earn that solely based on merit and hard work and putting your nose to the grindstone. Like, it's impossible. Dude, you have to exploit people.
Unless it's Independence Day. What was the movie with Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck and they went to blow up the meteor?
Armageddon.
Yeah, Armageddon. Unless it's Armageddon and you blew up the meteor to save the Earth. And then even then, they were like, they like balked when they were like, we don't want to pay taxes ever again. Remember that? They like balked. Yeah. It's like, dude, that's not even going to be close to $1 billion. It's going to be like a few G's for those fuckers. And it's like, I can't think of anything you could possibly do that would be worth $1 billion. It's just not, ridiculous. Anyway, speaking of,
speaking of being overvalued,
speaking of billionaire, giving
what will be very late breaking news by the time this episode drops, the Russians might have shot down Bashar al-Assad's plane as he was fleeing Syria.
No, but, dude, are you fucking serious? Holy shit. MSNBC, by the way, MSNBC is reporting that the backpack that the shooter of the guy at the UNC used was full of Monopoly money.
That's fucking awesome.
I saw that
That's
earlier.
That's gotta be fake. It's gotta awesome. Be fake, right? Like, it's gotta be.
No, bro. Don't ruin it. Just that's real. Just let people enjoy things. That's
I
real.
Tried searching MSNBC, but I searched ManBC.
Oh my god. Oh,
but boy. The very funny thing about this whole like the Syrian government completely collapsing is that the rebels had started a mission that was titled Deterrence of Aggression because the Syrian army had been shelling the city of Idlib.
Okay.
And like them like striking back at them for shelling the city essentially caused the complete collapse of the military. Yeah, so the name of the operation was Deterrence of Aggression, and they completely like overran the entire like country.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they found this backpack and it's full of Monopoly money.
That's fucking awesome. Also, apparently the bullet didn't say what they originally thought. It said deny, delay, or it's delay, deny, depose.
Yeah.
Well, not defend, we
can,
delay.
We can get the new shirts.
Yeah.
I want my money back for this shirt. Fuck, you're a capitalist too. You won't give me a refund?
Don't worry. My guy knows a village in Africa you can send him to.
Jesus. I know somewhere in Syria that might need him.
Wait,
fucking this. I can't. Steve, where are you reading this? Are you sure you're not like operating off that computer that John Teeter had and you're like in the future right now? Because I can't find shit. Nothing. Like, there's not a single douchebag politics post on my. Holy shit, I just found the post. Oh my god. They took the Assad statue down.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been taking down all the Assad family member statues.
Dude. What the fuck are we supposed to do now? We got to talk about Tito, but this is like some live shit. Should we go live on Twitch?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Maybe one day. I was thinking about it, but...
According to the CNN front page, why finding the CEO killer is harder than you might think? Because nobody wants him to be found.
He's got Spider-Man immunity.
He literally wore a mask in
no one's gonna tell.
A complete like cream colored like over jacket. Like you're not gonna find that dude. Good luck.
And the guy they keep saying to look for doesn't even look like him.
No.
It's not the same backpack, it's not the same coat. It's like, good job, FBI, you know. I don't know, dude. This is fucking crazy. I can't believe this Russian thing. This is nuts.
I don't know why the FBI is even involved. This should just be a strictly NYPD investigation. That man should get no special treatment more than anybody else.
really bad day. That guy should get
two burnt out detectives that are drinking fucking 3-day old coffee and stale ass donuts and are just want to go the fuck home and don't want to fucking deal with this shit, so they can just throw that case file in the back of a drawer somewhere.
Sipowitz, yeah.
Exactly.
And this fucking and Ricky tweet. Schroeder. Really, really bad day for Tulsi Gabbard. She's like an Assad apologist.
Yeah.
There it is. Tulsi Gabbard, after the spirit of Aloha, didn't save Assad's regime. I'm sending it to the Discord. All right. So what about Tito? Where's Tito now?
So last time we talked about Tito, you know, he's been coming up. He's been in every prison in like Southern Europe, and he has been avoiding Stalin's purges by organizing fighters to go into Spain in order to fight for the Spanish Republic. He himself does not go and fight, but his organizing in Paris and elsewhere and sort of ferrying these fighters into Spain has sort of kept him out of, you know, Stalin's crosshairs. So while Tito was avoiding arrest in Moscow, Germany was placing pressure on Czechoslovakia to cede the Sudetenland.
I didn't know what that was. I would always think it was like part of Sudan when I was a kid, because I would see it show up in like a history book. Like, mm-hmm. What the fuck is that? But where is that?
It's the area of the was present day Czechia. For the Czech Republic that borders on Germany.
Oh, so it's not even close to where I thought.
So it's sort of essentially the mountains
that, okay, thanks.
That are like on the like are literally on the border, and that when they took them, they essentially like took off like just like a couple centimeters of the map when they took it.
You know what's you know what, by the way, speaking of on the border, their tortilla chips at the Walmart. Oh, phenomenal. They're really good. Yeah. They're definitely worth the extra. Brand. They're worth the extra money over the Santitas, because the Santitas used to be the best. You know, because it was like $1.99 or something, you know, for a big ass bag of tortillas. And they actually are good. But the On the Border one's much better. Anyway, Tito, sorry. my shit's kicking in. I'm feeling it. Let's go. Also, nope. By the way, like three people's worth of desserts, so I'm very sugared up right now. Let's go.
Oh, hell yeah.
In response to Germany threatening Czechoslovakia, Tito organized a call for Yugoslav volunteers to fight for Czechoslovakia, and thousands of volunteers came to the Czechoslovak embassy in Belgrade to offer their services. Despite the eventual Munich Agreement and Czechoslovak acceptance of the annexation and the fact that the volunteers were turned away, Tito claimed credit for the Yugoslav response, which worked in his favor. By this stage, he's well aware of the realities in the Soviet Union, later saying, quote-unquote, he witnessed a great many injustices, but too heavily invested in communism and too loyal to the Soviet Union to step back.
So he knows what's going on, but he's also like, fuck it, I'm too invested with these guys, I can't fuck it up.
He's too invested in the communist project to really like go against it.
Oh man, lost cause, man. Was it lost cause fallacy? What the fuck that is? Like, you're just so invested in something that like even if you know cost. It's wrong, you'll just double down.
Yeah.
Sunk cost, that's what it is.
Yeah, lost cause is the thing about the South, the Civil War.
When Tito gets to the party, you know, gets a couple drinks in him, and he's just like,
they were fighting
for states' rights.
They were fighting for states' rights, you know? The states' rights, that's what they were fighting for. Yeah, states' rights for what, Cletus?
States' rights to what?
own blacks, right?
I think, listen, to this day, the funniest thing I've ever seen was on a clip that was on Last Week Tonight, and it was a black dude and a white dude arguing, and it was like, goes back to the basically go back and forth on slavery, and the guy was like, my ancestors, like, the black guy tells a white guy, hey, listen, it's your ancestors. White guy's like, my ancestors were poor. You know how much you people cost? I was like, Jesus Christ. He's like, we didn't own slaves. You know how much you people cost? I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, yeah, buddy. Instead, your ancestors were fighting so that they could make the down payment on a slave.
Your ancestors were fighting for other people to own slaves. Just cucked out.
Yeah, anyway. Speaking of cucks.
Oh, no. Our boy Tito is no cuck. He
I am the one who cucks.
he had many affairs and many wives. I think he had 3 wives by the end of his life, and then he had many affairs.
Jesus Christ.
After restoring the image of a decisive, coherent, and non-fractional Communist Party Yugoslavia to the Comintern executives, Tito was, by October of 1938, reassured that the party would not be disestablished. He was then tasked to compile 2 resolutions on plans of future Communist Party activities.
2? Good God.
Hoping to return to Yugoslavia before the 1938 Yugoslavian parliamentary election in December, Tito requested permission to do so from Comintern's Georgi Dimitrov several times, saying that his stay in Moscow was greatly prolonged but to no avail. The Comintern formally ratified his resolutions on January 5th, 1939, and he was appointed General Secretary of the Communist Party of Yugoslavia.
So, he's now, like, in charge of the party?
Dude. Yes.
Dude, sorry. I gotta get off Twitter. This might be the most banger tweet of all tweets.
Oh my God. Share.
I put it in the chat. It's basically a picture of Maximus and Commodus from Gladiator, and it says, I decided to rewatch the first Gladiator to get ready for Gladiator 2, and man, I had forgotten the moral depravity of this film. The movie basically celebrates Maximus's killing of Commodus in the end. Like, come on, that's a human being, a brother, an uncle, a son. Oh, man. Anyway.
Yes, Tito is now in control of the Yugoslav Communist Party.
That's crazy.
After his appointment to the party...
Just to ask you, if I understand correctly, he kind of like fell ass backwards into it, right? Like, was
he's been working hard, Steve. You know, he's been hard in the paint. He's been recruiting fighters. He's been, you know, dodging the NKVD.
Yeah, but has he been actively trying to be in charge of the party? That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I think it's just that he's taken up so many leadership positions and showing the initiative that they make him the leader.
I always thought Tito was in charge. I don't know.
And, you know, like, Barry is after him, like, in a Mentos commercial.
The Yugoslav is full of life.
Except Barry is just distracted by young girls that he's trying to serial kill.
Oh, hello, girls. Hello. My name is Tito.
You come with me.
Isn't that a funny name, Tito?
So after his appointment to the party's highest position of leadership, the newly formed Politburo of the Central Committee retained the old leadership team of Tito, Kardelj, Delos, Alexander Rankovic, and Ivo Lola Rebar.
Wait, Rankovic? That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, we talked about him last episode.
That sounds like, was he responsible for something? Like some major event?
I really think so.
Anyway, go ahead.
Ivo Lola Rebar, as I mentioned, and also with Franco Laskozic, Miha Marinko, and Josep Kras, by the end of 1939 and the start of 1940, Rade Konkar and Ivan Milutinovic. On April 6, 1941, Axis forces invaded Yugoslavia. On April 10, 1941, Slavko Kvartanik proclaimed the independent state of Croatia, and Tito responded by forming a military committee within the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Yugoslavia. Attacked from all sides, the armed forces of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia quickly crumbled. On April 17, 1941, after King Peter II and other members of the government fled the country, the remaining representatives of the government and military met with German officials in Belgrade. They quickly agreed to end military resistance, and prominent communist leaders, including Tito, held the May consultations to discuss the course of action to take in the face of the invasion. On May 1, 1941, Tito issued a pamphlet calling on the people to unite in a battle against the occupation. And on June 27th, yeah.
Nah, it was a dumb joke, so keep going.
On June 27th, 1941, the Central Committee appointed Tito Commander-in-Chief of all National Liberation Military Forces.
Just imagine, like, that many people having, like, I don't know, faith that you're going to do the right thing. You know?
No. Yeah, no.
I know, I'm just, imagine that. Like, imagine you were the guy. Imagine you're Tito. They're like, well, you know what? You're already in charge of everything, but now you're a cop. What the fuck?
Well, remember, he was a veteran of the First World War as well.
I know, still, though, but just think, millions of people probably, right? Like, they're just like, yeah, this guy, he's got it.
I mean, have you seen the man?
Have you seen him? 5'11". Did you hear me?
That's like, he's like the Kristaps Porzingis of like the 1930s.
Watch me dunk, bro. Watch a skyhook. Okay. Tito skyhook.
On July 1st, 1941, the Comintern sent precise instructions calling for immediate action. Tito stayed in Belgrade until September 16th, 1941, when he, together with all members of the Communist Party, left Belgrade to travel to rebel-controlled territory. To leave Belgrade, he used documents given to him by Dragoljub Milutinović, who was a voivod with the collaborationist Pasadnik Chetniks.
Voivod. It's like a Hungarian warlord.
Yeah, it's like a general, like, Eastern... It's not just Hungarian, it's also in,
no,
like...
No, it's not. Well, nothing's just Hungarian, except maybe paprika.
Yeah. It's Hungarian quay.
Yeah. I like the word voivod, though. It always made me, like... I think I saw it in Magic, maybe?
Well, there's a metal band named Voivod, I think.
There is a metal band, but that's not where I saw it. I think it was in Magic. Yeah, I don't know.
Probably. It's a pretty, like, fantasy, like...
Yeah.
Author needs a name for, like, an evil guy. It's like, what title do I give him?
Searching the Gatherer, but it returns zero results. Fuck.
Tito traveled by train through Stalock and Sasek. And arrived at the village of Robie on September 18th, 1941. Despite conflicts with the rival monarchic Chetnik movement, Tito's partisans succeeded in liberating territory, notably the Republic of Ušće. During this period, Tito held talks with Chetnik leaders Drazija Mihailović on September 19th and October 27, 1941. It is said that Tito ordered his forces to assist escaping Jews, and that more than 2,000 Jews fought directly for Tito.
Really? Okay.
That's how you know you're doing something right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the chosen are on your side. On December 21st, 1941, the partisans created the first Proletarian Brigade, combined by Kosa Popovic, and on March 1st, 1942, Tito created the 2nd Proletarian Brigade. In liberated territories, the partisans organized...
Well, the first one was just great, so we made two.
You know, everybody loves a sequel. In liberated territories, the partisans organized people's committees as an act to act as civilian governments. The Anti-Fascist Council of United Liberation of Yugoslavia convened in Bihać on November 26th through the 27th of 1942, and in Jasce in November 29th, 1943.
Kind of sounded like you were... Like you were Louisianan for a second there, and I say, and I say.
It's like a mint julep with a little fan.
Oh my god!
In the two sessions, the resistance representatives established the basis for the post-war organization of the country, deciding on a federation of the Yugoslav nations.
I see.
In Jasce, at a 67-member presidency was elected and established a 9-member National Committee of Liberation, five communist members, as a de facto provisional government. Tito was named president of this organization.
Man.
With the growing
possibility... This is how these fucking communist guys have this, like, these fucking breastplates of medals on their chest. You know, you just make Tito head of it. We give him a first award, you know. Because
he's not as bad as like Brezhnev. Brezhnev gave himself Hero of the Soviet Union three times.
Oh yeah, Brezhnev was an asshole.
Yeah, he did it to himself. He was like, no, I
there's
this.
Only one Hero of the Soviet Union, and we know his name starts with Marshall and ends in Zhukov.
With the growing possibility of an Allied invasion in the Balkans, the Axis began to divert more resources to the destruction of the partisans' main force and its high command. This meant, among other things, a concerted German effort to capture Tito personally. On May 25th, 1944, he managed to evade Germans after the raid on Drvar, named Operation Rosselsprung, an airborne assault outside his Drvar headquarters in Bosnia.
I think I bought one of those at IKEA.
A Rafflesprung?
it's a cheese demilker. Like, it takes the milk out of the cheese. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's an end table.
But you can still make it with an Allen wrench.
Oh. Imagine after the having partisan... a whole wrench named after you, you know?
Yeah.
Just Allen's wrench. Yeah.
You know, everyone
thought of it.
Everyone,
he's the first guy.
Everyone named Alan is going to have to live in his shadow.
You keep making these cylindrical holes, and Alan just said, "Hey, listen, how about this?
Listen here, bud.
How about hexagonal? How about
we're trying to be different over here.
How about octagonal? How about that?" Holy shit, you're a fucking genius. You know what? You can have full credit, and we'll even call it Alan's Wrench. Sounds good to me. I'm going back to farming. Oh, my God.
After the partisans managed to endure and avoid these intense Axis attacks between January and June of 1943, and the full extent of the Chetniks' collaboration with the Germans became evident, Allied leaders switched their support from Draza Mihailovic to Tito.
So in 1909-1910, William G. Allen also patented a method of cold forming the screw heads around a hexagonal die. Okay, so that makes more sense. I'm just looking up the history of the Allen wrench now. Sorry. The ADHD pinball just it made it to the other side of the bumpers, and that's where I'm at.
King Peter II, American President FDR, and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill joined Joseph Stalin
Franklin
and officially recognized
Delano Romanowski.
And officially recognizing Tito and the partisans at the Tehran Conference.
That's Kramer's
This resulted in Allied aid being parachuted behind Axis lines to assist them. And on June 17, 1944, on the Dalmatian island of Vis, the Treaty of Vis was signed in an attempt to merge Tito's government with the government in exile of King Peter II.
Treaty of Vis does kind of sound like a like a D&D thing.
It does.
You know. The Drow celebrate the Treaty of Viz, which gave them access to Elven Quarry.
The Balkan Air Force was formed in June of 1944 to control operations that were mainly aimed at aiding his forces. On August 12, 1944, Winston Churchill met Tito in Naples for a deal.
What kind of deal are we talking about?
On September 22, 1944, King Peter called on all Yugoslavs to come together under Tito's leadership and stated that those who did not come under his leadership were traitors, by which time Tito was recognized by all Allied authorities, including the government in exile, as the Prime Minister of Yugoslavia, in addition to Commander-in-Chief of the Yugoslav forces.
So he's basically that dude now.
Yes, he's worked his way up to the top.
Okay. He has now seen the top of the mountain.
Beavis, I have seen the top of the mountain.
And it's just good.
Oh, well, obviously, because Tito was killed many times, so he is...
So what was the deal that Churchill and Tito made when they came together? Was it just the deal was like, hey, listen, I'm going to be in charge of everything, and that's that?
I'm telling you, I was just trying to save a meme, and I typed in Tom Baudet. instead of typing Tom Baudet, though, I typed B-I-D, so I typed Tom Baudet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I think the general agreement they came with was that if Tito was willing to, like, play ball.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I mean, it seems like he says yes to every other fucking thing he gets handed, so might as well say yes to this, too. Your president, yeah, sure, your king, your chief.
I mean, at this point, he's batting 1,000, and he's just fucking, just force gumping his way into these fucking just positions that he's in.
That's when I just started running. On September 28th, 1944, the Telegraph Agency of the Soviet Union, TASS, which was like the main, like, was like the Reuters of the Soviet Union until it collapsed, reported that Tito signed an agreement with the Soviet Union allowing temporary entry of Soviet troops into Yugoslav territory, which allowed the Red Army to assist in operations in the northeastern areas of Yugoslavia.
Okay.
With their strategic right flank secured by the Allied advance, the partisans prepared and executed a massive general offensive that succeeded in breaking through German lines and forcing a retreat beyond Yugoslav borders. After the partisan victory and the end of hostilities in Europe, all external forces were ordered off of Yugoslav territory. In the autumn of 1944... Communist leadership adopted a political decision on the expulsion of ethnic Germans from Yugoslavia.
Get out. Wait, are you German? No, wait. German are like, you know, German. Oh, you're German? Get out.
Get the fuck out.
Motherfucker, well, German.
The thing a lot of people don't understand is that throughout, like, Europe...
The thing a lot of people don't understand is Nazis.
Well, no, that there are these populations of...
What it means to say that you're Antifa. That means you're against fascism. They seem to think it's something bad because Joe Rogan told them so, but he's an idiot, so...
Self-admitted idiot, too. That's my favorite part.
I know, he's like a self-admitted idiot. Fucking just, I have no respect for him anymore. I've lost all respect for him. For a while there, I thought he was just an entertaining moron, but, you know, then I stopped listening to him years ago now, and the stuff he's done recently, not gonna fly for me, bro. Deleted.
Sorry, bro.
You're done.
Sorry,
but within Europe, there were these minority populations of Germans who historically lived in these countries that were outside of Germany because they were immigrant populations. Not the same way as like within Russia, where, you know, the Russian government invited German settlers. Just in the sense that Germans, before the formation of Germany, in most cases, decided that they were going to look for opportunities elsewhere in these communities built up in these countries. And by the time that World War II rolls around, these people are only like pretty much ethnically, like, they're only ethnically German. They are not like culturally or linguistically German. Mm. Like, there's a thing too with like in Poland, where there was a sizable minority of German-speaking, of like barely German-speaking Germans within Poland, who all got like exiled from Poland after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, when the Germans, like, showed up and they're like, oh, yeah, these are the Germans that are going to be helping you. Like, none of these guys, like, spoke German. Like, they spoke, like, a very rudimentary form of German. Like, they had no idea about anything because they were descended from people who lived in that region, like, centuries before, like, the formation of modern Germany.
Right.
And the same is true here in Yugoslavia. The same is also true in Hungary and other places, where the German populations essentially just get told, like, yeah, you got to get the hell out.
Get the fuck out. Hi, I'm going to need you guys to leave, all right? You've had enough.
On November 21st, a special decree was issued on the confiscation and nationalization of ethnic German property. To implement the decision, 70 camps were established in Yugoslav territory. In the final days of World War II in Yugoslavia, units of the partisans were responsible for atrocities during the Bleiburg repatriations, and accusations of culpability were later raised at the Yugoslav leadership under Tito. At the time, according... What?
You don't have to ask. I just said a thing. I just said Tito, you know. Tito!
At the time, according to some scholars...
Hey, we need someone to call the numbers at bingo, Tito. You in? Yeah. Sure. Matter of fact, why don't we just give all the money to Tito? That's fine. We were bored anyway.
Tito repeatedly issued calls for surrender to the retreating column, offering amnesty and attempting to avoid a disorderly surrender. And on May 14th, he dispatched a telegram to the Supreme Headquarters of the Slovene Partisan Army, prohibiting the execution of prisoners of war and commanding the transfer of the possible suspects to a military court.
The Slovenian, the what?
Slovenian.
You know, oh, like Melania.
You know, Melania's
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Her fucking Einstein, her Einstein visa. Oh my God. The idea that she got an Einstein visa and she was not smart enough not to marry Donald Trump. Like, what is wrong with you? A fake rich guy.
On March 7th, 1945, the Provisional Government of the Democratic Federal Yugoslavia was assembled in Belgrade by Tito, while the provisional name allowed for either a republic or a monarchy.
Is it Belgrade or Belgrade? I think it's Belgrade.
I think it's spelled Belgrade, but it's pronounced Belgrade.
Yeah, I think I've just heard like shitty like Westerners pronounce it a different way when I was younger.
Just Tom Brokaw being like, the Chinese embassy bombed in Belgrade today.
I'm Tom Brokaw.
This government was headed by Tito as provisional prime minister and included representatives from the royalist government in exile among... and in accordance with the agreement between resistance leaders and the government in exile, post-war elections were held to determine the form of government. In November of 1945, Tito's pro-Republican People's Front, led by the Communist Party of Yugoslavia, won the elections with an overwhelming majority, the vote having been boycotted by monarchists. During the period, Tito evidently enjoyed massive popular support due to being generally viewed by the populace as the liberator of Yugoslavia, which you can't really argue with that.
I did some Googling about him a little bit when you... after the last episode, because in the beginning you asked Ryan if he should, or no, Ryan asked you, am I, Steve, just let me know right now, am I going to be upset?
Yeah.
And you were like, actually, you probably like him. And I'm like, really? So I was interested.
Yeah, he like, there are some excesses of his regime, but in terms of leaders, like, I would say, like, he is, like a better guy to like than, like, Fidel Castro.
Well, yeah, really? Castro, there's a lot of wanton.
Yeah, but Castro's one of those leaders where he would like go back, like they'd say, like, well, what about that? And he's like, yeah, we went too far. I apologize for that.
It's like, real nice to save, you know, 50 years after you benefited from it personally.
Yeah.
Well, no, not from kicking people off their like slave plantations, but like saying like, oh, like, don't you think the persecution of gays was bad? And he's like, yeah, that was really bad. We shouldn't have done that. But
I mean, I'll give a person, I'll give a person that, but I don't know if I'll give Castro that.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying if you're gonna like stand like a communist leader,
I know what you're fucking saying. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, like Tito's one of the kind Lord Jetler. You know, he's just like a big teddy bear. Just look at him, you know, smoking a cigarette. You know,
yeah, popping a wheelie on his bike.
There's an anecdote that he was in the White House.
Hey, Tito, and he had a Cuban, we're going to give you X Games gold, okay?
But he was in the White House.
Special and he had a Cuban X Games medal just for Tito.
But he was in the White House. So he had a Cuban cigar, and they're like, "Oh, you can't smoke in here." And this was like in the 70s.
Probably wasn't a real Cuban though.
In the 70s, you could have. All
right. No, you know the joke I'm making, right? Like,
yes.
Every time someone brings up Cuban cigars, there's always one fucking cigar guy in the room, and he's just like, "Most of them are not real Cubans. I've had those." Shut the fuck up.
My brother had a cigar roller at his wedding, and like he had cigars as a like the favors or whatever. Dude was a legitimate from Cuba, yeah. And rolled Cuban tobacco. I mean, I guess it's Cuban tobacco or whatever the fuck, like the leaf or whatever the fuck it is, but he was rolling us Cubans just in Florida.
But anyways, he lit up a cigar in the middle of the White House and just proceeded to smoke it.
Gangster.
Good. Fuck it. That's great. He's got in his mouth, "This is a nice house. It's yours, Tito. Have it."
The Yugoslav administration and the immediate post-war period managed to unite a country that had been severely affected by ultra-nationalist upheavals and war devastation, while successfully suppressing the nationalist sentiments of the various nations in favor of tolerance and the common Yugoslav goal.
Tolerance.
What is the common Yugoslav goal?
To not, like, do the 90s.
Do the 90s? Common
Yugoslav goal is to not suck.
To not do the 90s?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you remember the 90s, Steve, but not to do that.
I don't know.
Not to carry out genocide and like fight with each other over territory.
It's generally preferred. Usually.
Yo, I took way too much edible. Oh my god. I was feeling myself. You've been exercising your ass all week. You deserve a break. Oh my god. I have like a whole sideshow going on in my head right now. It's great.
After the overwhelming electoral victory, Tito was confirmed as prime minister and the minister of foreign affairs of the republic.
This fucking guy spat in a thousand.
The country was soon renamed the Federal People's Republic of Yugoslavia.
Oh, I thought later you were going to say renamed, oh, God.
Later fully renamed to the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia.
I legit thought you were going to say like some initial name that I didn't know about, but you're going to say it was officially named Titoville or some shit like that. I like legit thought you were going to do that. And I was like, oh, no, he blew it. He didn't do it.
Its official name is the Federal People's Republic of Yugoslavia, for short, Titoville.
Tito Town.
Tito Town is the best. Where are you living at now, Tito Town? Oh.
I live in Joseph Junction.
On November 29th, Joseph Junction sounds like a medical like term for some area, some specific area in like a musculature. You know, I got it right over there. I got the serratus is connected to the Joseph Junction.
it's one of the arteries coming off your fucking kidneys. The Joseph Junction. Oh fuck.
Don't judge us, Steve. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Too late, Steve.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
Too late. On November 29th, 1945, King Peter II was formally deposed by the Yugoslav Constituent Assembly.
Why?
The assembly drafted a new Republican constitution soon afterwards because they're tired of kings.
He was too
this guy's a loser. He's not a child like Tito. Tito fucks. This new king, he doesn't fuck.
Yeah, this king doesn't fuck. He sits on his king. Throne all day.
He's on a throne. He's on a throne. That's a cook chair. That's what that is.
I love how he fucks his You've got scepter. Immediately That's like why. Aggressive. He's like, because they're tired of kings, man.
Can you put an own hole in my scepter? Yes,
he doesn't. He doesn't sit on a throne, Steve. He sits on a cuck chair. Where he watches. Well, Germany fucks Yugoslavia. That's what he did. We will not allow Germany to be the bull of Yugoslavia.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck. That's great.
Yugoslavia organized the Yugoslav People's Army from the partisan movement and became the fourth strongest army in Europe at the time, according to various estimates.
Okay.
The State Security Administration was like also formed.
The fourth strongest army has to have like some kind of like special knack that makes everyone scared of them, you know? Like I feel like for some reason I just feel like fourth place probably is like really good with poison.
They you know, they walk like in a battle doing the slop squat.
They have excellent spear work, you know, whatever the fuck it is.
They're just doing like the North Korean like videos where they show off like the bodyguards where they're like breaking bricks on their chest with cameras.
Yeah,
fucking. And just like doing like backflips and they like shooting a bullseye.
Look, I know
like,
they're fourth, okay, but listen, okay, but listen, hear me out. They're fourth, but they could be third, you know?
We all know these SEC that the valuations are bullshit. You know how they rank the teams; it's all bullshit.
The BCS, the Balkan Championship System.
You know, I've always said Lane Kiffin could go fuck himself.
Wait, isn't like the BCS communism and the tear down of communism is the bowl series?
Oh my god, I'm doing this right now.
I always do love that the one college football podcast I listen to, the Shutdown Fullcast, refers to UCLA as like the woke mob team.
What?
Oh my god, what?
And anytime they play, they're just like the woke mob at UCLA.
Why?
No, they themselves are leftists, but they're just joking because like everybody talks about how leftist UCLA is and like how conservative like the teams and like the SEC are.
Gotcha.
The State Security Administration was also formed as the new secret police, along with a security agency, the Department of People's Security. Yugoslav intelligence was charged with imprisoning and bringing to trial large numbers of Nazi collaborators. Controversially, this included Catholic clergymen due to the widespread involvement of Croatian Catholic clergy with the Ustasa regime.
Ustasa?
The Ustasa were like... They were sort of like the fascists in Croatia, and they were to such an extreme that the Waffen-SS like was terrified of them.
Wait, what?
That's what I'm like saying. Like when you're in fourth place, okay, you got some special thing, you know, something's keeping you there.
But the level of like racism and anti-Semitism,
they're super racists.
And the Ustasa was to such a degree that they're like, yeah, man, you need to cool it down.
Yo, ease up, man.
When the Waffen-SS is looking at you like, hey, guys, listen, maybe you should ease up a little bit. Y'all are being a little bit extra.
Huh? I get it. We all feel this way. But
fucking Albanians.
Go take a break. Go smoke.
Go outside for a minute. Go outside. Go smoke a cigarette real quick. See, you feel better when you come back in.
Draza Mihailovic, the head of the Chetniks, was found guilty of collaboration, high treason, and war crimes, and was subsequently executed by firing squad in July of 1946.
And Chetnik kind of sounds like a term like Larry Moe and Curly would use to refer to each other. Stop it, you Chetnik.
Now Prime Minister Tito met with the president of the Bishops Conference of Yugoslavia, Alesius Stepanek on June 4th, 1945, 2 days after his release from imprisonment. The two could not reach an agreement on the state of the Catholic Church. Under Stepanek's leadership, the Bishops' Conference released a letter condemning alleged partisan war crimes in September of 1945. The next year, Stepanek was arrested and put on trial, which some saw as a show trial.
Stepanek.
In October of 1946, In its first session for 75 years, the Vatican excommunicated Tito and the Yugoslav government for sentencing Stepanak to 16 years in prison on charges of assisting.
The modern excommunication, is just unfathomably stupid. You know,
it's just looks like a slap on the wrist.
I tell you what. How about this? You really want to fuck around with the church? Well, how about this? You don't owe us any money anymore.
You may not okay. You may not tithe, and if you go, you may attend service, but if you do attend service, you may not receive communion.
Also, we've turned off the holy water for you. If you touch the holy water, your name is no longer recorded in the incantation.
As the cardinal or bishop is like delivering this, he's getting heated, and the other like priests have to like calm down. It's like it's okay.
Hold him back. Joey, your foot's on his.
I'm so sorry. I have to do this to you, but you brought it down on yourself.
Get your foot off.
He's ripping his collar off.
Rip your cassock off. Oh my god.
This was mainly done because they were accused of assisting the Ustaša in their terror over Croatia and of supporting the forced conversions of Serbs to Catholicism. Because remember, Serbs are Orthodox.
What'd you say?
Forced conversions.
Foreskin virgins?
Forced conversions.
Four virgins. Gotcha. Okay.
I'm not the only one who thought he schmozzed that word together, right?
No, I heard forced conversions.
That's what I heard. I like how matter-of-factly he just answered me. No, I heard that too. Come back down to the slums, Ryan.
Be free. Listen, I stay wallowing in the shit, buddy.
Eat garbage. Be free. Oh, shit.
Stepanak received preferential treatment and recognition of his status, and the sentence was soon shortened and reduced to house arrest, with the option of emigration open to the archbishop.
You can't fucking house arrest a bro. He owns everything. It's like house arresting, I don't know, fucking Gabe Newell. Like, okay, well, I guess I'll just play video games. I own everything.
At the conclusion of this Informbüro period, reforms rendered Yugoslavia considerably more religiously liberal than other Eastern Bloc states.
Eastern Bloc, sorry.
In the first post-war years, Tito was widely considered a communist leader very loyal to Moscow. Indeed, he was often viewed as second only to Stalin in the Eastern Bloc. But in reality, Stalin and Tito had an uneasy alliance from the start, with Stalin considering Tito too independent. From 1946 to 1948, Tito actively engaged in building an alliance with neighboring communist Albania, with the intent of incorporating Albania into Yugoslavia.
So he called up Action Bronson.
You love coming to America? I love coming to America. Hey, yo, we are the same people.
I'm not doing a ghost-faced impression, I swear. Hey, yo.
According to Enver Hoekstra...
You guys know what I just joked about? You know how, like...
Yeah, they got accused of that.
Yeah, of being ghost-faced. They asked Ghostface about it, too, apparently. I forget what he said.
But according to Enver Hoekstra, the leader of Albania, in the summer of 1946, Tito promised Hoekstra that the Yugoslav province of Kosovo would be ceded to Albania. For those who don't know, Kosovars, they speak Albanian. And that there's like a whole big thing about it because...
For those who don't know, Steve...
Unless, I swear to God, listen, you need to just teach unless, fucking...
Unless anyone here happens to be an Albanian language major, you could just say, since none of you know. Those who don't know, it's so nice of you.
Listen. You need to take a college course to understand, like, Eastern Bloc countries. right?
We need a graduate level course on Kosovo and the former Yugoslavia.
Serbia is a country, but it's also like describing like an area of people. And then let's bring in the Czechs now too. It's like, oh my god.
My favorite joke about Albania is the Gustav Fring meme, like, we are not the same. And it's like, your ancestors converted to Islam because they believed in it. Mine converted because they didn't want to pay taxes. We are not the same.
Gustavo Fring, by the way. You said Gustav Fring, which is like his Swiss counterpart. Yeah, I killed the old boss.
He's even more in love with the French dressing.
Volta Vite.
I'm sorry, did you say French? Never mind.
Yeah, it was from the episode of the German guy that he was laundering the money from. And they were going over the like the new like condiment flavors. And they're like, we've combined ranch dressing and French dressing to make French dressing.
I'm nauseous.
It does sound kind of bad.
I'm actively nauseous.
Despite the decision of unification being agreed upon by Yugoslav communists during the Bouillon Conference, the plan never materialized. In the post-war years in Kosovo, Tito enacted the policy of banning the return of Serb colonists to Kosovo, in addition to enacting the first large-scale primary education program of the Albanian language there. During the immediate post-war period, Tito's Yugoslavia had a strong commitment to orthodox Marxist ideas. Harsh repressive measures against dissidents and quote-unquote enemies of the state were common from government agents, although not known to be under Tito's orders, including arrests, show trials, forced collectivization, and suppression of churches and religion. As the leader of Yugoslavia, Tito displayed a fondness for luxury, having taken over the royal palaces that had belonged to the House of Karadžić, together with the former palaces that used to belong to the House of Habsburg in Yugoslavia.
Oh, the nose guys.
The strong chin group.
Yeah, all of it. My fucking face got pulled out like Play-Doh.
Yes, that's called being inbred.
Yes, we're related. No, dude. I was literally scrolling through Twitter. If you click that post that I just sent you.
No, I've seen it already. I think I saw it earlier.
Oh, it's so funny. Lisa Nalgaev.
I sent that earlier.
Did you? I didn't see it. I've been running around all day, so I might not have seen it.
Tito, you know, he's living in these palaces.
It's not even going to be funny.
No, I'm leaving it in, dude. I don't give a fuck.
His tours across Yugoslavia in his luxury blue train closely resembled the royal tours of the Karadžić kings and the Habsburg emperors and in Serbia. He also adopted the traditional royal custom of being the godfather to every ninth son. Although he modified it to include daughters as well after criticism was made that the practice was sexist.
Wait a minute. What birth order were you? You were eight, weren't you? No, Tito's not buying you a car. A Skoda.
Just like a Serbian king, Tito would appear wherever a ninth child was born to a family to congratulate the parents and give them cash. Fucking
magically? The way you just said it. Tito would just suddenly appear. Hello, everyone. It's Tito.
Hey, hi, guys. I'm here.
How are you doing? I'm the godfather. You know, I have to be here.
The family is sitting in the hospital and outside, like from outside, they hear the sound of like the clinking of bottles falling out of a car door that's just been opened and Tito gets out.
Who said Tito three times? I'm the host with the most.
I just imagine him walking in like it's a game show where he's got the Bob Barker mic.
the little tiny, really thin mic.
And it's like 2 feet long.
Always remember to spay and neuter your pets.
Like he's talking to an invisible camera the whole time.
Honey, just go along with it. We're getting money.
It could be worse.
Honey, we have 9 kids. We need them. Tito always spoke very harshly of the Cordovic kings in both public and private. Though in private, he sometimes had a kind word for the Habsburgs, and in many ways he appeared to his people as a sort of king.
I mean...
unlike in other states in Eastern East Central Europe, liberated by Allied forces, Yugoslavia liberated itself from Axis domination with limited direct support from the Red Army. Tito's leading role in liberating Yugoslavia not only greatly strengthened his position in his party and among the Yugoslav people, but also caused him to be more insistent that Yugoslavia had more room to follow its own interests than other bloc leaders who had more reasons to recognize Soviet efforts in helping them liberate their own countries from Axis control. Although Tito was formally an ally of Stalin after World War II, the Soviets had set up a spy ring in the Yugoslav party as early as 1945, giving way to an uneasy alliance.
Oh man, there it goes.
In the immediate aftermath of World War II, several armed incidences occurred between Yugoslavia and the Western Allies. Following the war, Yugoslavia acquired the Italian territory of Istria, as well as the cities of Zadar and Rijeka. Yugoslav leadership was also looking to incorporate Trieste into the country as well, which was opposed by the Western Allies.
Yes.
This led to
flee Trieste that one time in that Call of Cthulhu campaign.
Yes. this led to several armed incidents, notably attacks by Yugoslav fighter planes on U.S. transport aircraft, causing bitter criticism from the West.
Take that.
In 1946 alone, Yugoslav Air Force planes shot down two U.S. transports aircraft.
Really?
The passengers and crew of the first plane were secretly interned by the Yugoslav government. The second plane and its crew were a total loss.
Wow, Yugoslavia's got some fucking nuts shooting down American planes like that.
That boy's got some fucking nuts.
I mean, maybe it's just like America brain. I'm like 2020 America brain, right? It's not maybe in 1946 we weren't flexing muscle like this. Because, like, dude, nowadays, like, I hate to say it, everybody fucking hates the United States, but being an American carries some weight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they respect you. They just, well, not everywhere, but
I'm just saying, imagine them shooting down a fucking American plane just being like, fuck you, we'll do it again too. Watch this. Now watch me hit this drive.
We must stop these terrorist killers. Now watch this drive. Watch this drive.
Oh, fuck.
What a turd. Fucking turd.
The U.S. was outraged and sent an ultimatum to the Yugoslav government demanding the release of the Americans in custody, U.S. access to the downed planes, and full investigation of the incidents. Stalin was opposed to what he felt were such provocations, as he believed the Soviet Union was unready to face the West in open war so soon after the losses of World War II, and at a time when the U.S. had operational nuclear weapons and the Soviet Union did not. In addition, Tito was openly supportive of the communist side in the Greek Civil War, while Stalin kept his distance, having agreed with Churchill not to pursue Soviet interests there, although he did support the Greek communist struggle politically, as demonstrated in several assemblies of the UN Security Council. So what we talked about previously was that Stalin and Winston Churchill essentially divided up Eastern Europe into what was called the percentage agreements.
Correct.
And Stalin followed that, but there was a belief that sort of led to the beginning of the Cold War, was this belief that the Soviet Union was, like, going against that in Greece. But in reality, it was just Tito supporting the Greek communists that caused the Westerners to think that the Soviet Union was, like, you know, going back on their deal.
Which, in reality, they were not.
Yeah. In 1948, motivated by the desire to create a strong, independent economy, Tito modeled his economic development plan independently from Moscow, which resulted in a diplomatic escalation, followed by a bitter exchange of letters in which Tito wrote, "We study and take as an example the Soviet system, but we are developing socialism in our country in somewhat different forms.
Oh, Daddy Joseph is going to be very upset.
The Soviet answer on May 4th admonished Tito and the Communist Party of Yugoslavia for failing to admit and correct its mistakes, and went on to accuse them of being too proud of their successes against the Germans, maintaining that the Red Army had saved them from destruction. Tito's response on May 17th suggested that the matter be settled at the meeting of the Common Forum to be held that June. The Common Forum is like one of those like international communist organizations that would meet in Moscow.
Bro, imagine having fucking shit talk by fucking snail mail. Like, be, this is a bitter exchange. It's like, dude, this exchange took the course of 6 months for them writing letters back and forth.
For my fucking, last letter.
People smoldered back then when I last wrote in spring.
Like, dog, I forgot about that shit. You sending me a letter back makes me fucking rehash dead feelings.
Let me tell you something,
I know Stalin is wilting after my withering barrage that I sent him.
Nah, let me tell you something. If somebody sends you a letter to say fuck you, you are in some. You are a guilty motherfucker.
You are a piece of
Nobody
shit.
Writes a letter. My God.
If I bust out the 5-star notebook.
Think how much money. You're spending a lot of money to say, fuck you, dude.
I feel if you send somebody a letter like that in 2024, that's when you get, like, active police protection, because that person's probably going to be an active shooter soon.
Exactly, see? Look, you're just proving my point. You know, they take it real seriously when they see that shit written down.
Imagine you see the letter and it's written in cursive. Oh, bro, it's over. She might just hang it up.
Dude, if it's in cursive, you might be fucking with a demon, actually.
Like Sideshow Bob in jail, just like writing away this letter.
Not Stan Bob Simpson.
However, Tito did not attend the second meeting of the Common Forum, fearing that Yugoslavia was to be openly attacked.
Fuck four, huh?
In 1949, the crisis was nearly escalated into an armed conflict as Hungarian and Soviet forces were massing on the northern Yugoslav frontier.
What? Not my Hungarian.
An invasion of Yugoslavia was planned to be carried out in 1949 via the combined forces of neighboring Soviet satellite states such as Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Albania, followed by the subsequent removal of Tito's government. On June 28th, the other member countries of the Common Forum expelled Yugoslavia, citing quote-unquote nationalist elements that had quote-unquote managed in the course of the past 5 or 6 months to reach a dominant position in the leadership of the Communist Party Yugoslavia.
Okay.
The Hungarian and Romanian armies were expanded in size and together with Soviet ones massed on the Yugoslav border. The assumption in Moscow was that once it was known that he had lost Soviet approval, Tito would collapse. Stalin said, "I will shake my little finger, and there will be no more Tito."
That bitch said, "I will shake my little finger."
The expulsion effectively banished Yugoslavia from the International Association of Socialist States, while other socialist states of Eastern Europe subsequently underwent purges of alleged Titoists. Stalin took the matter personally and arranged several assassination attempts on Tito's life, none of which obviously succeeded.
You say obviously? I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, he outlived Stalin, so
he could have got axed like Trotsky did in Mexico. Shit, I don't know.
In one correspondence between them,
hey guys, Tito, I'm back in the episode this week. It's me, Leon.
Tito openly wrote, "Stop sending people to kill me. We've already captured 5 of them, one of them with a bomb and another with a rifle. If you don't stop sending killers, I'll send one to Moscow and I won't have to send a second."
Damn, ice cold. Son. Damn.
Ice cold.
He said, "Suck this dick."
He's definitely the Kendrick in this.
I'm going to need you to do me a favor and get these balls.
Hey, fetch me my wheelbarrow, the one I used to move my balls around. Imagine sending that to Stalin.
Hey, Stalin.
Mr. Pringles.
Hey, prick.
One significant consequence of the tensions arising between Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union was Tito's decision to begin large-scale repression against enemies of the government. The repression was not limited to known and alleged Stalinists, but also members of the Communist Party or anyone exhibiting sympathy towards the Soviet Union. Prominent partisans such as Vlado Dobsovec and Dragoljub Mikovnik were victims.
What the fuck was that?
Not a lot of vowels in that one, huh?
Kind of trailing off towards the end there. Did I hear a niner?
I thought you were having a little bit of a stroke, you know? Whoa, wait.
Well, how else am I supposed to say Dragoljub
Mikovnik? Check your blood sugar there, brother.
He said, how else am I supposed to say it? I don't know, man. Type it into fucking forvo.com, you know?
He'll tell you how to pronounce that bad boy.
Somebody will be on there saying it. I will never stop laughing at that one.
None of us are from Yugoslavia, so we're not going to be able to pronounce that with our American tongues.
Ryan, are you aware of the fake pronunciation manual account on YouTube?
Is it the thing that they're like, instead of Gatorade, they say Gatorade?
Yeah, it's just like amazing. It's like a clone. My favorite one is always going to be Chipotle, because Chipotle comes up and he just goes, Shantoodle. Shantoodle. So funny. The funniest part about it is that it's a direct clone of an account that people actually use to look up words.
Yeah.
Like
the pronunciation.
So we just kept most of them, like most of the ones we heard.
It's fucking awesome.
Driving by Sean Toodles.
So even these partisans were victims of this period of repression, which lasted until 1956. It was marked by significant violations of human rights.
Hey, lady, there's not enough parmesan on my pasta.
Tens of thousands of political opponents were forced to serve in forced labor camps, and hundreds died.
I mean, like you do, right?
Yeah, you know.
An often disputed but relatively feasible number that was put forth by the Yugoslav government itself in 1964 places the number of inmates at the camp of Golia Tok, which means the barren island, that were incarcerated between 1948 and 1956, to be 16,554, with less than 600 having died during detention.
I mean, that's not something to brag about. Well, less than 600 died.
Wasn't that many, you know?
The facilities at Golia Tok were abandoned in 1956, and jurisdiction of the now-defunct political prison was handed over to the government of the Socialist Republic of Croatia. Tito's Croatia, separation...
Another fucking country to throw in the mix. God damn, there's so many.
Well, they're
countries.
Part of Yugoslavia.
Okay.
They're essentially a state. When they say they're a republic, it's like a Soviet republic. Like the Soviet Republic of Georgia or the Soviet Republic of Ukraine.
Yeah, okay. But those are countries.
Today. Okay. But not back then.
Okay.
Tito's estrangement from the USSR enabled Yugoslavia to obtain U.S. aid via the Economic Cooperation Administration, the same U.S. Aid institution that administered the Marshall Plan.
Oh. It's real effective.
Tito did not agree to align with the West, which was a common consequence of accepting the aid at that time. After Stalin's death in 1953, relations with the Soviet Union were relaxed, and Tito began to receive aid from the Comic-Con as well. In this way,
that manga and doujinshi money over at the Comic-Con.
It's all about the lines and just seeing these actors talk about their movies. It's not about the comics anymore, which is why I don't like it. But Comic-Con is like an acronym that means like the Communist Economic Cooperative.
Yeah, yeah, right. You mentioned that in another episode, actually.
Yeah. In this way, Tito was able to play both Eastern and Western antagonism to his advantage. Instead of choosing sides, he was instrumental in kickstarting what was called the non-alignment movement.
So would you say that he got you all in check?
But this would function as a third way. That
was a good joke. You know, Czech Republic, you know.
I'm here with you.
That would function as a third way for countries interested in staying outside of the Cold War.
Break your neck.
The event was significant for not only for Yugoslavia and Tito, but also for the global development of socialism, since it was the first major split between communist states, casting doubt on Comintern's claims for socialism to be a united force that would eventually control the whole world, as Tito became the first and really the only successful socialist leader to defy Stalin's leadership in the Cominform.
That's a long sentence, bud.
I could just hear him mute the mic and say,
"It's like you just gotta learn circular breathing, and you're fine."
Yeah, macrocosmic orbit.
This rift with the Soviet Union brought Tito a bunch of international recognition, but also triggered a period of instability, also referred to as the Informbureau Bureau period.
What if it was just called what was just called the oopsie?
Tito's form of communism was labeled Titoism by Moscow, which encouraged
just sounds stupid. It doesn't sound. I don't take that shit seriously.
Nobody would take you seriously if you told people you believed in Titoism. They'd beat you up. They'd mug you.
You want to know the name of the thing? Okay, it's called Titoism. What?
Which encouraged purges and repressions against suspected and accused Titoites throughout the Eastern Bloc. Some Trotskyites considered Tito to be an unconscious Trotskyist because of the split, but prominent Trotskyites said no, he's not actually a Trotskyist.
So they're like accusing him of being a Trotskyite, and the other ones are like, nah, fuck that, we don't claim him, get the fuck out of here.
Well, no, some members are trying to remain relevant by saying, no, see, he's actually like us. They're like, no, it's not. It was said that they were both proletarian Bonapartists, ruling quote unquote deformed worker states.
Napoleon.
And who? That Tito. And that Tito was modeling his regime on that of Stalin's.
Regime. You sound like you're in North Jersey.
I thought that was like a regime. I thought that was the whole point, was that he was modeling it on Stalin.
Initially he was, but he went like a different path in some areas.
Okay.
And then even more so. So they're just like, oh no, he's like Trotsky. And then the real like Trotskyites are like the real hardcore guys are like, no, he's nothing like Trotsky.
It's not like that at all. What is wrong with you? Why would you say something like that?
On June 26, 1950, the National Assembly supported a crucial bill written by Milovan Delos and Tito regarding socialist self-management, a type of cooperative, independent socialist experiment that introduced profit-sharing and workplace democracy in previously state-run enterprises, which then came under direct social ownership of the employees.
All right, here we go.
Sounds like a bill like Monty Burns would just cleverly drop in the incinerator. There you go. And then looks outside and realizes that the bill's not what's causing it.
On January 13, 1953, they established that the law on self-management was the basis of the entire social order in Yugoslavia. Tito also succeeded Ivan Rebar as the president of Yugoslavia on January 14, 1953, becoming the official head of state.
Okay.
After Stalin's death, Tito rejected the Soviet Union's invitation for a visit to discuss the normalization of relations between the two nations.
Why didn't you read that like your public enemy? Peace. How low can you go?
He's got the Flavor Flav clock around his neck.
Yeah, boy.
We're going to discuss normalization of relations between nations.
Oh, man.
Nikita Khrushchev and Nikolai Bulganin visited Tito in Belgrade in 1955 and apologized for wrongdoings by Stalin's administration.
I think it's
signing the Belgrade Declaration.
What?
Said Bulganin. I'm like, I think that's Bulganin.
Alexander Bulganin. Tito visited the Soviet Union in
the leader of the Bulganin movement.
Tito would visit the Soviet Union in 1956, which signaled to the world that animosity between Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union was easing. Rapprochement between the two countries would not last long, as Yugoslav leadership took an increasingly explicit posture of non-alignment in the aftermath of the Hungarian Revolution of 1956.
I was about to say, that's when Hungary had its revolution, yeah.
Relations further deteriorated in the late 60s because Yugoslav economic reforms, which consciously linked Yugoslavia to the international system, as well as Tito's support for the Prague Spring, which itself found much of the inspiration in Yugoslav market socialism and opposition to the subsequent Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia.
Good God. Draw it out for me. Fuck. Jeez. Too many steps. Too many steps.
The Tito-Stalin split had large ramifications for countries outside the Soviet Union. Sounds like something that happened in
the 80s rock, you know? The Tito-Stalin split ruined Winger.
It has, for example, been given as one of the reasons for the Slonsky trial in Czechoslovakia, in which 14 high-level communist officials were purged, with 11 of them being executed. Stalin put pressure on Czechoslovakia to conduct purges in order to discourage the spread of the idea of a quote-unquote national path to socialism, which Tito espoused.
Cut it out.
Knock it off. Stop it right now.
Under Tito's leadership, Yugoslavia became a founding member of the non-alignment movement. In 1961, Tito co-founded the movement with Egypt's Gamal Abdel Nasser, India's Jawaharlal Nehru, Indonesia's Sukarno, and Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah in an action called the Initiative of the Five.
The Initiative of the Five. This is a comic book.
It's not fucking Star Wars. expanded universe. That's midichlorian levels of these communists are out of control.
That's establishing strong ties with the third world countries. This did a lot to improve Yugoslavia's diplomatic position. Tito saw the non-alignment movement as a way of presenting himself as a world leader of an important bloc of nations that would improve his bargaining power with both Eastern and Western blocs. And on September 1st, 1961, Tito became the first Secretary General of the Non-Alignment Movement.
Is this still a thing?
This man is just has like a map in his office.
It's not.
Just the Non-Alignment Movement is not a thing anymore?
Yeah, the Non-Alignment Movement, it ended with the Cold War.
This man has a map in his office where he just keeps coloring each state. It's Tito. Tito is purple. Stalin is red.
Yeah, it got kind of weird at the end because, like, in the 80s, Cuba became a chair. Mm-hmm. I guess technically it still exists.
Like it was 1980.
Why would Cuba take a chair? Like, you're definitely lying. Well,
Cuba was a member. They were a member. They were the chair in the late 70s. And the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, which was a member of the non-aligned movement, and Cuba didn't decry them.
Mm. That's shitty.
And they're just like, well, what are we even doing? Like, why are you even here if you're not going to do that? Tito's foreign policy led to relationships with a variety of governments, such as exchanging visits with Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, where a street was named in his honor. In 1953, Tito visited Ethiopia, and in 1954, Emperor Selassie visited Yugoslavia. Tito's motives, though, in befriending Ethiopia were somewhat self-interested, as he wanted to send recent graduates of Yugoslav universities, whose standards were not up to those of Western universities, thus making them unemployable in the West, to work in Ethiopia, which was one of the few countries that was willing to accept them. As Ethiopia did not have much of a healthcare system or a university system, Haile Selassie, from 1953 onward, encouraged the graduates of Yugoslav universities, especially with medical degrees, to come work in his empire. Reflecting his tendency to pursue closer ties with the Third World, from 1960 onward, Tito permitted Mexican films to be shown in Yugoslavia, but they became very popular, especially the 1950 film Un Día de Vida, which became which became a huge hit in Yugoslavia in 1952. The success of Mexican films led to the quote-unquote U-Mex craze of the 1950s and 60s, as Mexican music became popular, and it was fashionable for many Yugoslav musicians to don sombreros and sing Mexican songs in Serbo-Croatian.
I always thought Yugoslav was weird, you know?
That sounds like it'd be an amazing time, though.
Yeah, you know.
You can find the albums, too, on YouTube.
You definitely find some minge.
Where there's some, like, very Eastern European guys wearing, like, sombreros with, like, a wind guitar.
Now, is that racist, or is it cultural appropriation?
I'm sure Mexico's like, this is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, most countries are.
We're projecting power.
There are very few countries that are like, that even consider the fucking idea of it. It's always like expats in the country that's doing it.
Tito was also notable.
It does go down to that one line, though, right? Like, if you do an Italian accent to somebody, Nobody gives you shit about it, but if you do a Chinese accent, all of a sudden you're racist. Oh, me, you know, like you do like that real like shitty stereotypical 1960s accent.
You do that oh me so horny shit.
But if
yeah.
you but again, Jerry Lewis. Yeah, like the real bad. I was about to start it, but I'm not gonna do it. But at the same time, you could do that same thing in like Italian or like
and oh me so horny for the lasagna.
Me, I'm so horny. You know, like just in that, and nobody gives you shit. They're like, well, he's not racist.
It's weird. Like you can do it to certain places, but you can't do it to others.
I mean, it usually tends to be a
French person. Yeah. Nobody would think twice.
I guess it usually tends to be like a minority, though. I guess so. It's probably racist bullshit all around.
You know, you got to take some factors. Like, did the country participate in the Holocaust? Like that type of thing. Like.
Wait, the Holocaust or the Holocaust? The Holocaust is the recent release of Han Solo.
The Holocaust hasn't happened yet. Who are you?
Oh, God. Don't say that. Wasn't the Sada Holocaust denier?
I mean, probably. Like, Syria was very anti-Jewish for obvious reasons.
That's the whole...
I thought you just said Siri was very anti-Jewish for reasons.
I mean, he's going to have to go back to being an ophthalmologist and, you know. Well, you know, the crazy thing is, and I've talked about it before, and I want to do an episode on the family, is that his brother was supposed to become the dictator.
His brother
drove a car into a concrete pole at like 100 miles per hour and killed his ass. But before then, like, Bashar was, like, the other son, like, the one that could do whatever he wanted. And he was just an ophthalmologist in, like, Great Britain. No, I have to imagine there's a guy that, like, got his eyes operated on and, like, you know, got his vision back. And he's thinking about his doctor. And then he looks at the news one day and sees that he's, like, dictator of a country. You remember Dr. Assad, honey?
Yeah. Do you remember that? That fucking Chris Farley bit? When he's in, like, the same thing as, like,
it's going to be the same thing as like somebody who Dr. Oz operated on, because Dr. Oz is admittedly an incredible cardiothoracic surgeon. He's just a fucking dipshit. So someone's going to be watching TV and be like, that guy operated on me as a child and did heart surgery and saved my life. And now he's slinging like castor oil pills to shove up your ass to ward off cancer.
I don't like
and like
it.
Tell you to snort goji berries.
Like, Ben Carson.
I really don't like this.
Ben Carson does like life-saving brain surgery on you.
And then surgeon.
Did you see the picture from his home with like the misspelled Bible quote etched in stone in his living room?
And you're just like, Doc, what the fuck are you doing? Just operate on brains and shut the fuck up. You don't need to do anything else.
Oh yeah. Fucking Dr. Oz, classic example.
But as Tito was notable for pursuing a foreign policy of neutrality during the Cold War and for establishing close ties with developing countries.
You want to take a side, Tito? No. No, that's not.
His strong belief in self-determination caused the 1948 rift with Stalin and consequently the Eastern Bloc. His public speeches often reiterated that policy of neutrality and cooperation with all countries. And it would be natural as long as these countries did not use their influence to pressure Yugoslavia to take sides.
Don't fuck around.
And relations between Yugoslavia and the United States and Western Europe, Western European nations were generally cordial. And we will end it there, and then we will pick up with the twilight of Tito.
Oh, boy.
Tito's twilight.
Is this when he turns into a vampire?
Tito. Hey,
does he bang Bella?
Hi.
Or does he bang Edward?
T-T-O. Tito. Oh, man. Tito sounds like something you call like a British soldier in like World War One. That Tito over there.
So I know that like Eastern European countries are like notorious for like being vodka drinkers. Is this where Tito's vodka comes from?
Yes.
Yes, and he made it with his hands.
Hell yeah. Did he make it with his hands while he was wearing a fucking sombrero?
Absolutely. He absolutely did. He never took the sombrero off, bro. Full wrestling gimmick till he went in the ground. Guy was kayfabe all the way.
He was like Mr. Wrestling, too, without the rape.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what I want to watch? Mr. Baseball. That's a good movie. With Tom Selleck.
Well, on that note.
On the Tom Selleck Mr. Baseball note, good night.
Go luck.
Knock off.
Bye.
Bye.